What I want to talk about tonight in Avad, I think, is a very important topic. Mm-hmm. It comes up. And the Yesod is from an Ibn Ezra, the sixth parsha. I have said this Ibn Ezra in Shmuzim, but I think it's good I spend time in this Ibn Ezra as Avad. I know Mendy saying in the audience, Mendy saying, Rebbe, you once said it as Avad too, so could be. But I'll say it's one of my, it's probably one of my favorite Ibn Ezra's out there. That's another one coming up, Parshas Yisro, famous one, very geschmack. But there's an Ibn Ezra in this week's parsha, which deals with the fact that we have Moshe Rabbeinu, how he was saved by Basi Bas Paro, Kadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated of all the people in the world to save Moshe. It was Basi Bas Paro. Just to put that a little bit in perspective, you know, there are a lot of Jewish children, unfortunately not enough, that were saved by Gentiles during the Holocaust. Right? There are all these, like, you know, crazy stories of this one, that one. You know, I don't know of a story of Hitler, Yimach Shemo's daughter, saving a Jewish child. That would probably rank up there as a pretty good story. And it would be even better of a drama had Hitler's daughter, raised this Jewish child. And it wasn't just any Jewish child. He'll eventually be the Jewish child that liberates the camps and wins the war and wipes out the enemy. And he grew up under the nose of the leader of Germany. That would be like an ultimate movie. That's not Shaykh, to grow up under sick mustache of the real life Satan, to grow up in his headquarters, for that child to be raised by his daughter, to eventually be the leader of the Jewish people, that would be a blockbuster movie. Even beat out Ten Commandments for just pure drama. But Maisa, that's what happened. I can't dramatize it better than the Chumash. Moshe Rabbeinu grew up in the house of Paro, mothered, cared for by Basi Bas Paro, and that Moshe Rabbeinu eventually came to give it to Paro and to be the leader to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. It's not an amazing story. If the Pasuk would say, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this? To take the ultimate nekama against Paro, that would be a great answer. Or if Ibn Ezra would say that, that would be itself understandable. But I assume what the Ibn Ezra was bothered by, he wanted to say Maipshat, is, okay, that's nice revenge, but like, poor Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not as if he's growing up in the most firm environment. You think about it. Moshe Rabbeinu, now granted, he was nursed by his mother, and that itself was tremendous siyat deshmaya, that they were able to get that. And Yaakov Kamenetsky has a whole shmooze based on Agra, that that's really halacha, that ideally a Jewish child should be nursed by a Jewish woman, because, you know, the mouth that could speak with the Shechina, how could it, you know, be nursed by a guy? So, okay, so Chazal talk about that aspect of Moshe Rabbeinu's, you know, growing up. But everything else, practical, for all practical purposes, he was growing up in Paro's palace. You know, they weren't exactly playing Jewish music, you know, as he roamed the halls. Right? And think about it, Moshe Rabbeinu, his father was Amram, the Gadol Hador, his mother was Yocheved. You're talking about a kid who could have been growing up on a constant basis with the most Kadosh V'Tahor parents, the leaders of Klal Yisrael, right? And growing up in Bnei Brak and Rav Chaim Kanievsky's house. Instead, he's growing up in the house of Paro, Paro HaRasha. Obviously, this sick person who literally is bathing in the blood of Jewish children. Achzarius has a good effect on a person. So there's no shayla out the hashpa, the sviva that Moshe Rabbeinu had to grow up in. It was not a good sviva. And that itself is part of the kasha, I believe, of the Ibn Ezra. That why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrate it? You have a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. Why of all the places that Hashem chose for him to grow up, did he grow up in Paro's palace? There's a lot of negatives involved in that. And there's so much good which otherwise he could have had he grown up by his real, spent more time with his real parents. So the Ibn Ezra gives two answers. One answer is an amazing shmooze in Galus Adam, but that's not for today. I would like to focus on the second answer of the Ibn Ezra. So this is Perek Beis Pasuk Gimel. At least that's what I have from my old Chumash. I do remember this also once looking it up. It was not so easy to find in these Chumashim. So the Ibn Ezra says, the Pshat is, the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu grew up in Paro's house was if he would be, let me read you the exact lashon. Ulai sivav Hashem zesh yigdal Moshe beis malachim. So I'm skipping the first answer. Va'odavar acher. Had he grown up amongst all the other Jewish people and they'd recognize him from the time of his youth, they wouldn't be afraid of him. They wouldn't have the proper respect for him. Because they would think he's one of them. Pause to remember this. Moshe Rabbeinu had to be separate from everyone in the generation. Why? Because he's eventually going to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. Had he grown up together with everyone else, then people will look at him, Moshe Rabbeinu, yeah. He was in my class back in the day. Yeah. And they wouldn't have the proper respect for him. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated this, even though it's not the usual path of making of a gadol to grow up in Paro's house. But Hashem did this, because in the long run, the Jewish people have more respect for Moshe Rabbeinu. The story that always comes to mind when I read this Ibn Ezra, remember the story too. I was walking back, it might have been from the meal we had at Hibzal Epstein, Sikhat Sakal Racha, here in Miami. I was branching here. And we're walking back, face down Collins, from 41st, probably to 71st. And we run into a bunch of yeshiva guys. He's like, oh, where are you guys from? Some old Jewish guy. So I said, oh, we're from Yeshiva Toras Chaim. Tell me from Yeshiva Chavetz Chaim in Queens. We're branching here. So this guy turns to us. And he's like, who's Yeshiva in Chavetz Chaim? I said, Reb Hanachal Leibowitz. Yeah, Hanachal. Excuse me? Oh, I was in TV with him. TV also stands for Torah Vadas. And then he goes on to tell us that Hanachal was a two-sewer guy. Two-sewer guy. What is a two-sewer guy? When you play stickball, which was the game of choice in the streets of New York back in the day, no one had any money to play baseball, no baseball diamonds. They would play with the ball, and you take a broomstick and just swat the ball. And they measured how far a hit could go based on how many New York City sewers it passed. So Reb Henoch was considered a great stickball player because he was able to smash the ball the length of two sewers. And that's very chashuv. Like, so this is Pashat. This is 50, 60, could be 70 years later. The guy knew him from Torah Vadas. He left Torah Vadas when he was 12 years old. This is years ago. But he knew this is our Rosh Hashiva. You know, generations of Talmidim already. He's like, oh, but I remember Reb Henoch as a stickball player in TV. That's how I remember him. He couldn't get that picture out of his mind. And who had been Klal Yisrael? And here's where the shmooze is. It's so unbelievable. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be the Malach Yisrael that's going to perform all the Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim, all the Nisim of Kriyas Yamsuf. He's going to go up to Shemayim for 40 days and 40 nights and not eat and bring down the Torah. That Moshe Rabbeinu, obviously he's above and beyond mere mortals, classmates of his, to do what he did. So why does he need to grow up in Pharaoh's house again? Because they won't respect him, they'll think he's one of them. How do you think Moshe Rabbeinu is one of them? It's not just a matter, okay, he's a leader, he's better than them, you know, he wears the frock, this, no. He's head and shoulders, he's floating into Shemayim. Like, what are you doing? Daydreaming. He's Moshe Rabbeinu. How did they confuse the two? Do you think he's one of the boys still? I think the pshat is shtel zachvar. This is kochos hanefesh, how people work. If you, especially when it comes to a first impression about somebody, when you have an impression about somebody and you view them a certain way, it's so hard to be ogre that from your mind's picture of them. You once viewed Moshe Rabbeinu as a peer. He could go and steig away and steig away and steig away and reach Madregas way beyond you. But you know what? You're still going to look at him. He's in my class since third grade. That picture of the third grader that, you know, you're horsing around in the middle of class behind the teacher's back. That's who he is. A lot has changed since then. He was a third grader playing jokes on his teacher. A lot changed. A lot may have changed in reality, but in the perception, in the impression of a person's mind, nothing changed. And that's why by Moshe Rabbeinu, had they grown up with him, they wouldn't be able to have the full respect. Despite all the awesome Madregas and awesome Nisim and clear evidence that he grew, that he changed, that he steiged, doesn't matter. That's the human mentality. It's kochos nefesh that you get locked in to a certain perception of somebody. And it's so hard to shake it off. Because you shake it off a little bit, mistama. I'm sure it had some impact. But there nevertheless, there'll be some residual effect of how they don't respect them. And look, when you have a Malach Yisrael, it's so important, every extra nuance of respect. You know, the Lashon Ibn Ezra says, "Lo yirim mena." They wouldn't fear him. I don't know if they read the Ibn Ezra, it doesn't mean at all. Mastama on some darga, this would have an impact, and therefore it's kedai to orchestrate this whole thing. Moshe Rabbeinu growing up in Pharaoh's palace for that.
They didn't fear him then either way. They complained to him all the time. They respect him. They
almost didn't. Yeah, so Teretz is. Yeah, that's Alpha PK. There are other negias and other problems and all this. Yeah, every time the Bnei Yisrael complain against Moshe Rabbeinu, have tainas against Moshe Rabbeinu, you have a shmuz. There are a lot of shmuz in here, but yeah, look. Right? Yeah. Yeah, he's normal. In a certain sense, I could respect him more. Like I could say, look, I saw where he was, but it sounds like that the negative outweighs the positive. Sof go sof. There is a certain perspective a guy could have that, hey, he's my classmate. I appreciate even more. You know, Shmuel Kamenetsky's classmates maybe have a better respect for him. It's down a person because they remember him as now they see, wow, look how he steiged. Look how he grew. But that other, it doesn't mean the other thing is not there. People are funny. You can have opposite emotions all the time. Now, I think the nafka minas that come out of the shmuz are not just nogea if you're in the same class as Shmuel Kamenetsky Shlita, if you're Shiva's classmate in TV, if you're a peer of Moshe Rabbeinu. It doesn't just operate on that level. and it operates across the board. That means that look at your friends right now. Hopefully there'll be a lot of people that become Chashav Talmidei Chachamim, Chashav Bali Musar, Yerush Shemayim, maybe even a tzaddik or two. I don't know if you aim to be a tzaddik, but okay. Yeah. So, just to know that, you know what? It's so much easier to respect somebody that you never met. Oh, this guy from Novominsk, yeah. Some guy. No, I've never met the guy. It's probably easier for you to have respect for them than for anyone else that you grew up with, you have some perception of. He's a peer, he's a classmate. I was in the same camp as him. He was in WITS when I was in Miami. You know, some communal, some shaychus that you have with that person, once you have that connection, it's very hard to respect him the same way. Because you could always say, he's one of us. Yeah, I know. Not machshav him. Huge Talmid Chacham. Who's this? Baal Musar. I know him. Because it's so hard to shake an image. People have images of other people, have impressions of people. And what does it take for me to outlive my image? I don't know. It's very hard.
Said the right one the first time.
Yeah, Yachanami. You don't get a second chance to make a first impression. Azizok Head and Shoulders Dandruff Shampoo. It's a great line, you know. You get the most deep philosophy on, you know, commercials and Snapple caps. But Lamaisa, this idea, you know, people get locked into perceptions. It doesn't just apply to Gedolim. It applies to people and their peers. And people become great. But you know what? You know, this applies. I thought of another interesting nafka mina. You know, there are some rebbeim that have a shita that they won't talk to a guy if he's not yet in their share. There are multiple rebbeim I know that have such a shita. Okay, you could ding zach. Yes, no, good idea, not good idea. Okay, certain stolts. Right, that itself could make an impression on the guy. But part of the reason why is, look, this guy's not in my sphere. He's not my Talmud yet. And it's not so posh, for sure, like the sub and this. Like, it's very easy. A Talmud could get a wrong impression about somebody. And for the rest of time, no matter what it is, he's stuck with that impression. Right? If it works, if it's an issue by Moshe Rabbeinu, Kol Shekein is issued by any Rav, any Rosh Hashiva, any Rebbe, that people could have a certain impression of them from one instance, one interaction, and then they're stuck with that. And the natural tendency of the person is, I'm forever going to view that person like that. You know, think about this. Let's say the first time you ran into a Rebbe was in camp, and the Chavetz was, you know, he was schwitzing away playing football. So you could hear that Mikana Laba, you come and tell me that person, like your first impression was, oh, I remember him schwitzing away playing football. Not so poshut. You know, Mitzad the Rebbe, maybe you should try to avoid that. That's part of that, I think, the Sashkafa, why some Rebbeim will try to not interact with Talmidim before they're in their share. If they could. Something to that. But it's also on the Talmud's perspective to realize you got to be careful with this. And
what's wrong with that? Like it just sounds strange that like you're supposed to look at like a leader as like not as a person. Like it sounds like the only chisaron like by Moshe or like by Israel, it sounds like the only chisaron is that you see that the guy is just like a regular guy.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not like the rest of the guy makes a bad impression, like he does something that the guy thinks he's dumb.
Yeah. So the question being asked is, Chor by Moshe Rabbeinu, loved after he's doing something negative and something wrong, he just looks normal. So why is that so bad? In fact, somebody before was standing, that's the greatest Milo, right? Somehow Chavetz Chaim is like, you know, on the guy's tombstone, we're going to write one day, the greatest Talmud Chacham this, and he was normal. Right, everyone knows my Rich Roper story. So, right. Well, on and on, a Shavach of a person, he's normal. Like, that doesn't sound normal. But... But hold on. Yeah. But I think the pshat is no one's expecting the Rebbe to be a malach, but. Even if it's not a negative, we're not talking about a negative, but even if it's not a negative, there's to have ultimate respect of a person, you have to see this person as a Baal Madriga above you. This person is roy of your respect. If you just degrade him, that he's just one of the guys, again, it's not an issue of normalcy. It's an issue, he's a Baal Madriga. He's a Madriga, or 10, or 100, above you. But if you view that person, yeah, I know he knows how to learn better than me, but, you know, we're in yeshiva together, you know, like, it's a din in Hilchas Kavod. In Hilchas Kavod, you're not going to be a mechabed him that he's 100, or 10, or even 5 madrigas above you. You're going to say, we're the same, just he's a little bit better in that. Which Mimela means you're not going to have the same respect. Because they wouldn't chop it. Right. So it's nice shmooz. That's that could be part of it too. Yeah, but here it is easier, you know. So it could be certain things with emuna when you're dealing with other madrigas, you can't necessarily see other madrigas. So you think you believe in Hashem, your emuna pshuta is good enough. You can't be masik. There are other madrigas, but here I think it's obvious there are other madrigas. But Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu's contrast is the one of the most clearest contrasts you'll have. He's going up to Shemayim. He's doing all the Nisim. Hashem speaking to him, Pel Peh. What more do you want that he's on a different Madriga? But Afal Pikein, if you view the person the same, then you don't view it as a different Madriga. Oh, yeah, we're in the same Shir. He's the better guy in the Shir. I'm here. No. You might be singing the same Shir, but he is on that Darga and you're on this Darga. I'll give you another Nafkamina. And this is also very true. Maisa, in yeshiva, okay? Impressions so much color the way we view people, the way we judge people, all the time. Start with a simple example, right? Especially in base matters, what ends up happening, okay? In the branch, you have 3 years worth of, 3 to 4 years worth of guys in yeshiva. You know, in bigger yeshivas, Queens, Face, you could have guys in yeshiva 10 years. So that means, let's say you're a third-year bachur in yeshiva. You could have a guy who's in base medrash already. You remember him. Oh, I remember him as a ninth grader. I remember him as a 10th grader. Schnook, I remember all the stupid things he did. And now all of a sudden, he's in base medrash. Oh, gosh, that guy. I can't stand that guy. You have this impression. Get locked into it. I was just telling it over to Rabbi Chemetz today. I said the gap in age between the two Rosh Hashivas and Queens is 9 years. Right? Rabbi Harris became a shutuf with the Shver. He was 9 years older than him. He went to his first chaburah that he ever said. He roughed him up a little bit.
grumbling. I thought you'd say better. Harris was a beast, always. He, you know, 9 years younger than you. How do you have the capacity to say, okay, now we'll be shutfim. Now we'll be equals. David, where's the guy 9 years younger than you? He's in middle school.
Not even.
Not even. You have an impression of him. Can you imagine? Imagine life. Okay, you know, we're going to open a branch in Kalamazoo together. That takes a tremendous amount of mussar to appreciate and be machshav the person. I'm going to judge him. I'm going to look at him b'asher hushom. Don't view as a handicapped. You view me because as my immature self that you remember from a few years ago. Don't view me that way. Get past it. I'm a different person. It's so hard to do. It's very hard to do. But that's how we make judgments about people all the time. I'll give you another scenario, right? It doesn't have to be a gap of age. Well, a guy in yeshiva, you know, let's say a guy does something silly in the beginning of the year. There are guys in yeshiva, no matter what that guy does for the next 6 months, they'll always view him, oh, that guy, oh, got on my nerves. He got on your nerves once, 2 months ago. And you still hate him? Who's the one with the problem? And you're making judgments? You're skewed. You have the biggest negia. Your judgment is so off. You have to judge people, Basher Rusham. Where they are. No, this is my impression of him. Okay? But who's at fault? Just this week, I had a fascinating scenario. Shiloh that I was dealing with. I discussed it with a certain, we'll call it Rav. I posed the Shiloh to him, okay, what do you think we should do here? And I knew that this Rav, the Gabi, one of the litigants involved in the case, he had a run-in with him. And he had, you know, but I felt Hagufa, to pask in the Shiloh, you have to know all the situations about this guy. So you're the best one to deal with it. So I asked the Rav, what should you do? And to his credit, Rav said, make believe you never asked me the Shiloh. Please ask someone else. This is why. He says, Ein Achanami, I know the case better than anybody else, but I feel that my impression of the guy, my negiah in touching up this person, will be, I won't be able to look at it honestly. Please ask someone else the Shiloh. That's godless. To realize that we have false impressions, to realize that we have negias, and we can't judge everything. Right? The biggest eitzah for all these impressions is a lot of times you have to ask shaylas. Whenever it comes to an issue, you'll be asked a shidduch shayla about somebody. Should my sister go out with this guy? So you have an impression of this guy. Okay, ask yourself. How accurate is your impression? Now, it doesn't mean, right, we'll go through Hamas Lashon Hara. Right? A lot of times you have to know. It doesn't just mean you should dodge questions for Shidduchim. People need to get answers. And if you know something, you have a chiyuv to tell. But sometimes your view of the person could be off. You have an impression. What's your impression based on? You have to push your buttons. Could there be, I had a run-in with this guy years ago, and that forever tainted my picture of how I view him. Could it be, oh, that guy, he's not so chashuv. Oh, come on. We're in blotcher together. Really? If you took the same guy and just took him out of your peer group, you never met him, how would you view him? Oh, that guy is a great guy. Okay, so why can't you do the same thing here? Now, look. Musar, through Musar, a person can realize if he has negias, try to separate himself from negias, ask advice about the negias, or if he can't do any of the above, worst case scenario, okay, I can't paskin. I recluse myself. But it's so important in life to catch ourselves. What's my impression about this other person? Am I degrading the amount of kavod I'm giving this person because This is my impression of him. We're peers. We grew up together. Yeshiva together. How's that work? So I think this is a very, very important Ibn Ezra. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to go and orchestrate Moshe Rabbeinu to grow up in Paro's house, even though Moshe Rabbeinu would seemingly be the most obvious person to see there's a difference and to respect Moshe Rabbeinu. But the pshat is that's human nature. The default human nature is people are not going to respect it. That's the way we function. Think about this. Look at your lives. It's going to come up. If you know this yisod, anytime you have to judge somebody that's within the sphere of your impression, you'll take a step back. Okay, what perspective am I giving him? Am I giving him an honest perspective? Or am I cloudy of negias based on the way I originally viewed the person? Just knowing the shmooze itself will enable you to make a better decision. That knowing the shmooze makes you push your button. Am I telling the truth or not? Is this a clear, honest perception of the person, or maybe it's skewed? And the Maisa, I think the point that was brought up before is such an awesome point. Because really, some of the greatest chizuk a person could get is from somebody that they do know well, how much they steigd, how much they grew. And really, some of the greatest hisoris a person could get is not stam a gadol story of this person, you know, especially the books don't tell you about the person's struggles. But if you had a friend who you knew struggled and l'maisa became Adam Chashev, like, that's super inspiring. I'm thinking of a story. Say it over. It's a guy in yeshiva. I remember him originally as, you know, in his learning, he was very weak. That was for sure my first impression. This guy was very weak. L'maisa, I saw this guy over years of time, and you fast forward, you know, years later, you know, that's why guys don't appreciate the difference any extra time of learning makes, little by little, a person posha change. This guy, I would label him, when he started off learning in Beis Medrash, was probably below average. He was weak, quite weak. Fast forward a decade later, after studying and learning, the guy was very solid. Look, he wasn't born in Eloy. He's never going to be an Eloy. But it doesn't mean you can't be solid. You can't be, you know, okay, it might take him a few minutes extra to get something than someone who's quicker than him. But he's super thorough, super Havana, super understanding, doesn't miss a step. I just found out the other day, this guy became a Menahel. Chashev a thing. When it's not being a Rebbe, today he's a Chashev Menahel. I was blown away. It's beautiful. I was blown away when I saw the growth there. Now, Kal Gufa, maybe someone who you feel is weaker, okay, you don't feel challenged by that person. So maybe it's easier to respect. Or someone you feel is way above you, it's also easier to respect. Maybe the peer group is the only people that are closer to you. Fine. But whatever it is, if a person is able to see people for where they really are right now, a lot of times you get so much chizuk and so much inspiration. Look how people grow. Yeah, Taco, we once played ball together. We used to hang out together. But look at him today. Look how far he came. He used to be Yoshe de Karanios. But today, he's making a Siyam HaShas right there on the field. Amazing. It is amazing. And Be'ez Hashem, I think if we utilize this perspective in analyzing people, analyzing, look, you know, a lot of times, you know, people have these like curse sayings, like, oh, don't judge people. You know, that's the curse saying, easier said than done. People, you're making judgments every minute of the day, all the time. Don't tell people don't make judgments. You're making judgments. Who are you kidding? But the idea of making the correct judgments, the correct assessments, if you realize how kolchos and nefesh works, if the more you understand of Moser, You understand, this is a roadblock. Your first impression you're going to be stuck with. And it's very hard to get out. So just the knowledge of that will help a person in visualizing the world around them, the people he comes in contact with, people he sees. And Be'ez Hashem, hopefully, through learning Musar and getting the right perspective, will make the right calls, the right decisions, and get a lot of chizuk from all the people we see around us. Thank you very much.